ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं
व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये
महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः
तुलसीदास जी सेज इन तुलसी रामायण राम रूप देखी नहीं दीना मुकुर मलिन अरु नयन वहीना Tulsidas ji was a great saint and was the first one to write the entire Ramayana in Avadhi language, in the colloquial language, so everybody could understand. And one of his beautiful lines, he says, we are pitiable people because we cannot see Ramchandra ji. Why? Lord Ram, why can't we see? Because our mirror is dirty and we have no eyes. What does he mean by that? To see the Lord, we don't see him outside. We had talked about that last week. God is within us, all of us, as life, as consciousness. So he is my own self. He is my higher self, my higher nature. Now, if I want to see myself, how do I do that? I need to have two things. One is I need to have a clean mirror. And secondly, my eyes and the light have to be proper. If the light is on and if my eyes are functioning, then I'll be able to see myself in a clean mirror. So when we want to see the Lord within us, we first have to clean the mirror. And what is the mirror? The mirror is our mind. And what is the dirt or what are the impurities that cover our wisdom? Is kaam, krodh, lobh, mad, moha, matsarya, anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, selfishness, ego. So these are our negative qualities which dirty our mind, the mirror of our mind, so the Lord is not reflected in it. And what does the Tulsidas ji mean by eyes and the light? The light is the light of wisdom given to us by the scriptures. And my eyes are the eyes of discrimination, of wisdom. I need to know where God is, how to see him or her, and how to recognize the Lord within. So the seventh chapter is the beginning of a new section. In the first six chapters, the Lord had told us how we should function in the world and how we should improve our life through karma yoga, through service, and become one with God in meditation. Now, what is God, or who is God, or where can we find him? We had already discussed in the seventh chapter, God has mentioned his higher nature as being the consciousness, and the lower nature is this prakriti, this world of name and form that we perceive. And most of us are so busy chasing after just worldly objects that we don't have time to sit and contemplate on who am I, what is my nature, why am I on this earth, and what is my goal or purpose in life. And if you are working with that kind of attitude, your life will be unproductive. Not only in the spiritual life, but also in worldly life. Say I am in business, or I am in college, or I am studying. What are the two ways for me to be successful in the world? My mind should be clean. It should be pure. If I have a lot of anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, selfishness, ego, then I won't be able to work properly with others. And secondly, Tulsidas Ji says, your eyes should be clear, which means I should have clear understanding of what my goal is in life. Why am I going to college? And what career am I going to take? Why am I going to take this career? How am I going to work in the world? So it's not only this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita is not only helpful in spiritual life, but is also helpful in how we deal with the world, how we deal with situations, and most importantly, how we deal with our mind. That is where most of the problems arise. So the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita helps us. And last week we had studied that people who are Iccha Dvesha Samuttena Dvanda Mohena Bharata, those who are so deluded by their likes and dislikes and chasing after the pairs of opposites, I run towards what I like, I run away from what I don't like, then these people, by their selfish activities, increase their vasanas, increase their negativities, and develop all these six qualities, negative qualities that we had talked about, anger, greed, jealousy, etc. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has this method of teaching where he will give one path and then give the opposite and ask us to choose. So last week we heard about people who are foolish. That's what Bhagavan calls them, moodaha, foolish people, how they function. Now let us see. So that is our picture. That is how we function. Now let us see how wise people function in the world. And that is chapter 7, verse number 28. Yesha tvantagatam papam. Jananam punya karmanam. Te dvandva moha nirmuktaha. Bhajante mam dridhavritaha. We can chant together. Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmuktaha bhajante mam dridhavritaha. So yesham tu means but. So having seen the mudhas, the ignorant people, how they function, now Bhagavan is telling us how the wise people. So the ones who are wise, yesham, what is the qualifications of a wise person? So Bhagavan has given many qualifications for us to see, do we fit in one or more of them? So first qualification of these wise people is antagatam papam. All their sins have been destroyed. Gatam means gone, antagatam means gone to the end. So all sins have been destroyed. Of these people, jananam, punya karmanam, not only their sins have been destroyed, but their actions are punya. They are meritorious deeds, the deeds that create good karma. So they have stop doing wrong things and they are doing good things. Then what is the third quality? Dvandva moha. Dvandva means pair of opposites. Moha means delusion. Muktaha means free. Nirmuktaha means completely free. So they are completely free of the pairs of opposites. We had talked about that last week. We'll just address it again today. So that is the third quality. Fourth is bhajante mam. They worship me. Worship bhajan, we think of as singing bhajans. But in the Bhagavad Gita, when the Lord says bhajante, what he means is they identify with me, they become one with me and do my work. So that is the fourth quality. They worship me, bhajante mam, dridha vritaha, and they have firm knowledge. So all these qualities, so how many of these do we have? Are we free of sins? Are we doing good actions? Are we free of the pairs of opposites, likes and dislikes? Do we worship and serve the Lord? And is our knowledge firm? So these are the qualities of a wise person. So first of all, he says they are free of sins. So what are sins? Gurudev has said that many times. Sin is not in the action, but it is in the reaction. So when I commit an action, if it leaves a negative reaction in my mind or a negative effect, that is sinful. And more important than the action is the motive behind the action. Why am I doing what I am doing? That determines whether an activity is sinful or not. And if all our life is going to be just in those six qualities, calm, krodh, lobh, moho, anger, greed, jealousy, acquiring, possessing, and working just for the body, I am the body, and so my whole life has to be left spent in taking care of the body. Not that one should not take care of the body, but then if that is all going to be my life, body includes, you know, not only taking care of the body, but my personal possessions, comforts of the body, health of the body, and all my life is all going to be spent in that, and I don't have time to serve others and to know God. So these are the two things that one should do, and that is using this healthy body and whatever possessions I have that have been given to me by the Lord, use them to serve the world and to know God. But we spend so much of our life in extrovert activities, running out here and there, that we don't have time to sit and contemplate, to think, who am I, what is my goal, what is my purpose, how can I make myself better, and how can I make this world a better place? That is the introvert person. So a wise person goes inward, and the moment they go inward, they connect with God's presence within. And then such a person who works with that kind of an attitude, all his activities are divine, his activities are glorious, his activities are holy, they are spiritual. And such a person becomes an instrument for serving the Lord, for working with the Lord. And when they do that, they create new vasanas. By doing selfish activities, you create negative vasanas. By doing pure activities, you create pure vasanas, what is said to be Shubha Vasana and Ashubha Vasana. In the Yoga Vasishta, they create more Shubha Vasanas and ultimately go beyond vasanas to the pure self, to their goal in life. And what is Dvandva? As I mentioned, it is running after what I like, running away from what I dislike, trying to collect what I want and give up what I don't want. And our life is a constant struggle. I heard a very beautiful example. He said there are two kinds of peaches. One is called a freestone peach and one is called a cling peach. All of you must have experienced that. There are some peaches, you open it and the seed instantly falls out. Those are the freestone peaches. And then there are the cling peaches where you have to cut. The fleshy substance, and even at the end, you are still, some of the stuff is still stuck to the seed. You are unable to. So the wise people are like that freestone peach who can willingly give up. Not that one has to give up the objects, but the willingness that if the object is there, it is fine. If I am not there, it is fine. And the willingness to share what they have with people who are less fortunate are the people who are called the freestone peach. But most of us, we are like that cling peach where we want to hold on to everything till the end of our life, and we don't want to give anything up. And what is the knife? They say the knife is two-edged. Either you give it up with patience and willingness, or you give it up with sorrow. So patience is I willingly give up. I say, okay, I share what I have with others, or the Lord will take it at the time of death, and then you will be leaving it with sorrow. You will be holding on. There's a beautiful story I had heard. So there was this businessman who was very, very rich. And he was very sick and he said, I don't want to die in the hospital. Take me home. And his last few minutes or maybe an hour or two, he didn't know how long he's going to live, but it was his last time. And his whole family was gathered around him and he barely can talk. He says, is my wife Kamla here? So she says, yes, dear, I'm here. He says, is my son Ramesh here? He says, yes, father, I'm here. Is my son Suresh here? Yes, father, I'm here with you. Is my daughter Jyoti here? Yes, father, we are all here. Then he angrily says, if all of you are here, who is watching the store? And that's how he died. That was his last breath. So the point is that the Lord says in the 8th chapter, which we'll be addressing, he says that whatever your last thought is at the time of death, that's where you will go. If my last thought is of the Lord, he says, you will come to me. Om etek aksharam brahma vyaharan mam anusmaran yav prayati tyajan deham tato yati param gatim. If you want to reach the highest, you have to chant Om and remember me, God says. But if your whole life, if we have been remembering only money, things, objects, people, my family, my children, my this, then that's what's going to be your last thought at the time of death. So they say from now on, start practicing, trying to remember the Lord as much as possible, so that at the time of death, you will also remember him or her. Then we talked about bhajante, that their life is of service, and dridha vritam. Dridha vritam means there is no doubt in their mind. Their knowledge is so clear. The knowledge they have acquired from the teacher, they have full faith in that knowledge. They are convinced that is the right knowledge. And then they bring it into their life, bring it into their dealings with people. Now, how do wise people deal with others? That is another point. We already talked about how they deal with objects and situations, how they go beyond the pair of opposites in situations. How do they deal with people? So the example they give is a flashlight. Now, whatever you shine your flashlight on, that will be illumined, right? Suppose there is a dark room and you shine your flashlight on one corner, then that corner of the room you will see, the rest of the room will remain dark. So these wise people, they look at others with their flashlight of discrimination. Now, what you and I do when we see somebody or when we get to know somebody, what do we focus on? Their negative qualities, right? Oh, this is wrong with him. That is wrong with her. She never does this. He never does that. And so we shine our flashlight on their negativities. So the more you shine on, focus on somebody's negativities, his or her negativities come back to you. They get magnified, they get potentiated, they get stronger. And so if I look at others' negativities, then the others' negativities come back to me. But wise people shine their flashlight on the positive things, because there is nobody in this world who is 100% bad or 100% good. They are a mixture of good and bad. So whoever we encounter in our life, it could be in our family, it could be at our work, it could be in our associates, at friends or acquaintances, if we focus on their positive qualities and say, okay, even though, yes, this person has these negative qualities, but also has certain positive qualities, then what will happen is those positive qualities will get magnified, will get reflected back to us. So that's why these people see goodness wherever they go. While you and I, we see the world as mixed. There are some good, some bad, some I like, some I don't like. But these wise people, they have spontaneous love for all. That's what we see in the life of Jesus, where he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. We see that in the life of Gandhiji. We see that in the life of these great saints, you know, Mirabai and Tukaram and all these great saints, who, Narsi Mehta, who were able to see the goodness in the whole world. And when they see the world with goodness, then the world reflects back to them with goodness. So that is how these wise people deal with themselves, with the world.